the immediate future. So we've been talking, as I mentioned, the theme of Nesina is a long-term theme. It's going to have many implications. But the issue that we try to focus on in terms of resolving those complex problems of Yisurei Hana and Bailus and Kinyan and Bar Karfa, so that we've tried to lay out the basic terrain for, so that we won't spend so much more time on, maybe a Ha'ara here and there, but that's a foundation that we've already set. Today, specifically, I'd like to do what looks like a detour, but you'll see it's not a detour. It flows very much from where we left off, and hopefully we'll supplement it in a meaningful way. Given the time, we'll probably spill into tomorrow. And then, just to give us a sense of where we're headed, so we want to talk about the practicalities of Nesina, having seen it alumnus, so then there becomes some actual practical issues of how Nesina is carried out. And then there might be one other major implication of Nesina that we'll try to look at. That should be in the next few days, the rest of this week, maybe the beginning of next week. And then after that, imagine we will go to the very major practical issue connected to Nesina of Ratzon, of when there is sufficient will on behalf of the husband, and that being a requirement. And that is going to be of major practical significance. And once we have an understanding of that, so that will allow us to also explore some of the other practicalities in terms of kfiya beget and what methods are permissible or not permissible, what would disqualify a get, and some of the circumstances that surround that. Okay, makes sense? Okay, reasonable plan? Okay, so with that, so today, so this is going to sound like a detour, but you'll see that it's not. And what we want to try to figure out is where we left things off last time is we were specifically mentioning the approach of the Beis Yishai, who we will be coming back to soon, Rav Shlomo Fisher. And he was talking about the fact that we had some essential contradictions, even after we tried to resolve the first wave of contradictions, right, such as how do you give a get to somebody if they're not obligated to willingly receive it? How can you be makna something to somebody who may not want it? How can you be makna something that doesn't have any value? It could be written on Yisurei Hana. So that was the first wave of issues that we had to try to resolve. And then in trying to resolve it, we basically saw a new round of issues. That if we take, for example, the position of the Ksos, that we don't actually require a kinyan, that it's just about giving it physically, and therefore it doesn't have to actually have value because you're not actually transferring it in a halachic sense. It doesn't matter that it's bal karcha because she's not acquiring it as a kinyan. And that's how also we could understand the concept of gita v'yada ba'an ke'achad, that all of that theoretically comes together in that way. But that left us with the question of, if it's true, you don't have to give it, so don't we have other implications that she does have to actually receive it? It does have to actually end up in her property. And just one source that seemed to say that, and there are many others as well, was the issue of Harezek Yiteich Lahaniyar Shali. So it sounds like you're not allowed to withhold the ownership of the paper. She has to actually receive it in the halachic sense too. So that, either you could say differently than themselves, or if you want to kind of accommodate both. So we left with the idea that there really are two sets of rules when it comes to a get. That a get is a shtar and has this aspect of shtarkkeit to it, and that dictates certain aspects of it. And it is a get. And a get, specifically a get isha, is described in the Torah in a certain way with certain rules, and that is specific to get. So as far as the shtar, so yes, it ends up in the hands of the isha, as the shtar generally will, and that will be the case. But as far as the get is about nesina, and that is not a requirement for a normal shtar, but it is a requirement for a get. So within that framework, let's try to understand the notion of a get as a shtar, and a get subject to specific rules that are about a get, and our focus here is largely on Nisina. So how does that impact the process of giving the get? And what we're going to try to explore, two details together, today and tomorrow. So one is, as far as the get being a document, being what the Torah calls a sefer krisus, being something that affects the divorce, and being something that we know has to be physically given to her. So certain questions need to be clarified as far as that whole process. First of all, what do we think a get needs to include? And the Torah doesn't really tell us. Right? We'll see that there are some indications in the Gemara. We'll see that there are some disputed points. It's not so obvious. And we'll try to understand what is necessary and why is one thing more necessary than the other. And together with that, what about Amira? And we talked about this a little bit last semester, if you recall, so you may have some grounding in that if you have good Chazara from a long time ago. But we know, for example, that when it comes to Kiddushin, Amira is crucial. He has to say, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that exact formula, but there are certain phrases that work and certain phrases that don't work. If you learn Maseches Kedushin at the beginning, so this is a major theme. So we know that there has to be an Amira, that Amira has to hit certain themes, that there may be some substitutes for the Amira, such as Asukim Ba'oso Inyan, that if the context somehow makes it obvious, that theoretically could supplant the Amira, but there, in general, there is a formula that is crucial. So to what extent, if any, is that the case when it comes to getting as well? And part of what we'll have to figure out there also is the role of Eidus. And that we know that Eidus plays a role in Kiddushin, and it plays a role in Gittin as well, and we spent some significant time trying to figure out where the Eidus specifically has to be. And how exactly is the Eidus, when it comes to a get, going to capture everything it needs to capture? As far as the notion of get being a davar shebe'erva, the divorce being a davar shebe'erva, and requiring a high status of clarification, so where are we supplying that? And what is going to need to be within the purview of Eidim in order for that to be accomplished. So all of that is going to be on our plate over the next day or two in order to try to see, when we say that the Nesina has this element to it, how much does it need to have? And especially because it's going to be mostly from Torah Shabbat Peh and open to dispute, because the Torah tells us it's got to be a sefer krisus that has to be given to her. But that's all it says. Right? The Torah does not tell us that anything has to be verbalized, nor does it tell us what has to be in the get. So these are elements we're going to have to try to figure out. So on the surface, what would you think if you were making this concept? Or you don't have to make it yourself from scratch, but if you just had the pasuk in Chumash and you were trying to darshan the Torah Shabbat Peh, so what would you imagine? What would you imagine should be necessary as far as verbalization? What would you imagine should be necessary as far as the content of the get? So you did just.
Generally, it would just be very minimalistic, no Amira, and just you have to give them a paper that says, "I hereby." I don't know, if it, not even necessarily names, just "I hereby am divorcing you." I mean, obviously, you need to be the one to give it, but.
Okay, so let's identify the parts that you're saying. So you're saying you don't think you need Amira.
No,
And the fact that Kedusha needs Amira, that doesn't bother you? I'm not saying it should, but I'm saying that.
No, because you have a shtar instead.
Okay, so you're saying Kedusha does not necessarily have a shtar.
Right.
Even though it could, there's such a thing as Kedusha shtar, but it's not the default position. So Kedusha does not require a shtar, might have one, but doesn't require one. So since the get does, by its nature, require a book, so then you think it doesn't need Amira. Now, that's a very interesting point to keep in mind, because essentially what you're saying is that the text of the get fills the role of the Amira right. by Kedushin.
That's the point of the Sefer Krisos.
Okay, so we'll have to see if that's the case, but that's potentially possible. Okay, so then that's as far as speech. Eric, you want to address that? You want to address a different
point? No, so I definitely agree with you, Didya. I think the interesting thing was when you say Sefer Krisos is a very vague kind of concept in terms of what we're trying to do, obviously. We don't call it a Sefer Krisos, now we call it a get.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even have the properties that we generally associate with a Sefer. So,
okay, I mean as far as a cloth and that kind of thing.
So, I mean, that's the puzzle by calling it like a Sefer Krisos, kind of this, you know, Sefer Krisos, like it seems to be this kind of more like, I don't know, like more like a whole thing, like a Sefer. A Sefer implies more than maybe like a couple, like a paragraph or whatever.
But you're saying it implies something about size or about.
I don't know, like, I don't say like grander, but like Sefer Krisos sounds more than just like a paragraph saying, you know, name, cities, whatever.
Okay, so you're saying you think there's a quantitative requirement?
Possibly, I guess. I'm not.
I mean, we saw the first day the union of 12,
yeah.
But we also assume that that's not Maker Hadin. But so that seems to,
so, yeah, so
but that seems to go to your point, though, right? The idea, certainly, that whole idea, whether it's setting aside what weight it has, but the notion of 12 lines in a get that we saw in the Tosfos in the first daf connects to the notion of Sefer, right? And as you're saying,
yeah.
And that, so, and therefore, maybe it also is establishing a certain level of stature that maybe comes with a Sefer. So it's an interesting point. It wasn't what I was looking for, but you're right that there is something quantitative that comes along with the Sefer aspect. So
yeah, and then I was just going to say that I think that by calling the Sefer Krisos, there seems to be some self-evidence that has to be laid on the gut. Like, because the Pasuk
okay.
doesn't call it a doctrine. It calls it like a Sefer Krisos should tell, I'm not sure like a story, but should outline
well,
everything.
A story, I mean, it's not necessarily the wrong phrase. We'll see that phrase is going to come up.
Okay, fair enough.
So it could be that may be the right word for it. But we'll see a little bit more about that. But what is the story? What do you think is crucial and what's not crucial? What does it have to say? Quality now, sort of qualitative. What's a crucial message? What would you think is a crucial message? The Torah tells, the cost of like Sefer Krisos. So what makes it a Sefer Krisos? Yeah.
The fact that you can now halakhically be with another man.
Okay, so being permitted to others. So let's take a look at a little bit what the sources do say here. So let's open up the Mishnah and Daf Pehei Amud Aleph. So at the very bottom of Daf Pehei. So the Mishnah tells us a few important things that we'll keep in mind too. Gufo shel get. Now, what is the main body of the get? As Rashi puts it, Iker ksav haget. The main thing in the get, kaf yichdu v'bo. This is what has to be written in it. What is it? Hare at muteras lichol adam. So according to one opinion, it's basically exactly what Eric said, right? That is the main message of the get. Okay, so you're smiling. So the main message of the get is that you are permitted to everyone. Is that all that you need? So the Mishnah goes on to say no. So the Yehuda adds, Omer v'dein d'yehevi lichi minoi sefer t'iruchin v'geres shavukin v'get p'turin l'mahach l'nhisnefo l'chol gavra yistayim. So he adds a little bit more to this, that this should be, so here this is all Aramaic, but Rashi helps us to understand some of it. So this is the book, that's what that means. Don Dehavi, this is the Sefer Asher Yelacha Me'iti Minai. And what should it be? So three phrases that essentially mean the same thing. Basically versions of Sefer Krisa, Sefer Tiruchin, Ve'yar Shavukin, a letter of abandoning, Ve'gat Peturin, and a contract of release. So all of that, so why is that all necessary? So here, so Rashi explains, Shesarech l'hechiach b'solcho, sh'al yidei sefer zeh u'madarsha. So according to the first opinion, the main thing it has to say is to tell her that she is muteres to everyone, which may not always be the case, but she's muteres in general. And that is according to the first opinion, according to the Tanakhama, that's enough. And Rabbi Huda says, not enough. So why is it not enough? So Rashi's told us a little bit, but look at the Gemara, will tell us a little bit more. And this will be very significant as far as understanding what is crucial and what is not crucial. So first, just to mention one line, this is less relevant, but just because it's also brought, so let's just, before we pass it, first line, the Gemara here is, Pshita amalei l'ishto hariyat bas chorin lo amala v'lo klum. That if what he says to his wife, given that the Mishnah says that the main thing is to say you are mutaris to everybody, so you might think, okay, if he says you're free, that's enough. You're bas chorin, you're enough. So that is no good. Why not? So if you look at Rashi over there, Amrla liishto lichtov begita haveyat bas chorin, v'lo kasev bo hareyat mutaris l'chaladim. So here, if he doesn't use that exact phrase, but instead he says that you are a bas chorin, so that's no good. Why? Lo'amar klum. Why do lo shayich begerus and loshen cheres, says Rashi? Because that's not the relevant language when it comes to geres. The bas chorin, he called him, okay. She was a free woman before this in the sense that we usually talk about when we contrast it with avdus. So she wasn't in heaven before this, no matter what someone might think of marriage. And therefore, that language is irrelevant to Gerushim. Yeah.
Also, it has nothing to do with Krisus. You know, what a fast horn for mud. So it's not. Like, but Mutar Lakladim is a lot more to do with Krisus, I would say, than necessarily.
Interesting. Maybe. Because it's an interesting question, but that's true. It has the connotation of Krisus, because we know that marriage means, in the Torah law, that she can't be married to anyone else. So therefore, if you're saying she can marry to anyone else, there must have been Croesus. So therefore, it implies Croesus. So it seems like here, the issue is less about that, even though you need that, but the issue is less about that, but just whether Bas Chorin really conveys this meaning. So a part of it is, what we're seeing here, is that the language doesn't just have to be there, but the language cannot be ambiguous. And this is something that we find throughout Lahalacha, that if the language has more than one meaning and could be understood a different way, so then that's going to be problematic. And it's not going to suffice for our goals. Now, here is a very key line. So, in the middle of the page here, in the middle of Pehei Amud Beis, so the Gemara picks up trying to figure out what the Machlokas in the Mishnah is about. So ask the Gemara, "Bamai kamifli." So what exactly is the machlokas about? So Rabbanan savri yadayin she'ein mochichos having yadayin. So what does that mean? So if you're learning Daf Yomi, so you're familiar with this term. So we just finished Maseches Nedarim, and now we're into Nazir, and they both start the same way, talking about lashonos that are effective and they're not effective, and Kiddushin has this sugya as well. So if you're so you're familiar with this whole notion of yadayim, which literally translates here to handles. So you have a verbal handle. If you have something that is an abbreviation, it's a way to hold on to a phrase, but it's not the whole phrase. So how effective is that? So as Rashi explains here, yadayim she'im ochichos. So beis achizo ledavar lachosbo, it's a handle. So afilu hachi habi beis yad v'amrina midikasid get v'yahev galidaite debahagite gersha. Right. So since this is called the get, and he's giving it to her, so that's enough. So we can understand that he is divorcing her with this get. So Rabbanan Tzor B'dayim Shemichiyot Tavim Yadayim V'achol Gav D'lo Kasev La B'dayim. Even though he doesn't say, and this one, Muchach Ramilsa D'Bahayigito Kamagarishwa. It's evident, we understand, that he's divorcing her with this get. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Yadayim She'en Mochichas Lo Havim Yadayim. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that no, that it's not called a Yad for this purpose. That's not going to be effective. V'tayimu D'Kasev La B'dayim. And the reason, therefore, you have to say in this one is the muchacha milsa, the Baha'i Gita kamagarishlo, that we need for it to be clear and evident that this get is what is effecting the divorce. What would the alternative be? Avalokas of lo b'dayin. But if he didn't write, and this is it, what might we think? Amri b'dibura gersha. You might think that what effects the divorce? Speech. You might think that he's able to do so just by saying so. V'shtara raya ba'almahu. And that what is the shtar? The shtar is just the proof. So b'dibura Rashi says, da'amala b'shas misira hayat muteras l'faladam. So maybe we might think that the way it works, I think this is actually how it works in Islam, that you just basically say something. So he just says, okay, arayat muteras l'faladam, maybe that would have been effective for the divorce. And the shtar is the raya ba'alma. So lios b'adel edus. That maybe, okay, really the divorce is verbal, and it has to be written out there in order to give her the proof that this happened. But this is not what's making it take place. And then the Gemara tells us a little bit more about the necessary phrasing here. That when you spell v'din, if you're going to do this, so don't spell it with a yud. Because you put a yud, so then it sounds like you're saying something else. As Rashi says, the lichta of the din, demashma din hu shagar shecha, shagar sheikh. You might think that it is a halacha that I should divorce you. Avum eino din alay shagar sheikh lo tiskashi. But if it's not actually required, then I don't mean to do it. So that could be ambiguous. So that one letter could confuse people. So don't put anything in there that could at all give a mixed message. Ella v'din. So say it without a yud. Okay, and then a few other qualifications the Gemara says also that could end up being ambiguous, and don't put in anything that could end up confusing anyone. So here we have a pretty significant statement. So what the Gemara is telling us, according to the Yehuda's view, is, and presumably it's true according to the Tanakhama also, it's just that the question is what rises to that standard, but that it's important to understand that divorce is specifically not effected through words that are verbalized, but rather through words on paper. So that is an important nuance. And so we have, he is divorcing her through something he says to her, but the way he says it, it has to be through paper, through the book. So if the sefer is not clear that that's what's doing it, and one could get the impression that maybe he is relying on speech, and the paper is something just there for proof, is going to mess up this whole process. So the notion of whether a get is at all a shtar raya, it's not necessarily being spelled out here. The fear is that it shouldn't be a raya ba'alma, that one shouldn't get the impression that it's only there to serve that purpose. We haven't necessarily clarified whether it should also serve that purpose. And we also mentioned the possibility that maybe through serving that purpose is how it affects the krisus, that maybe that's a type of kinyan, that giving somebody the proof of something is essentially a way of showing tremendous seriousness towards that goal. Otherwise, why would you want to leave them with that? So, therefore, one could still understand that that's the mechanism by which there is the kinyan. But it's crucial that no one gets the impression that this is how the kinyan is happening. We can't think that the kinyan is happening through the speech and the document is just there for proof. Okay, so far so good. So now let's continue and note some other points. So if you look, there's another Mishnah. We should see. And Daf Chavav. See, like we've said throughout, that this Masechet is just not shy to really go in order. We just have to go topically and find things in all the random places. Yes, Aaron?
Would we be able to tie that point into what the Rambam said from last semester, that the divorce or gerushin has to be more of a public testimony, or it has to be something public, so meaning if you were to just verbalize something or not, you can't really have, I guess, aidim to that, but if you have something that's written, it's more, it's not proof necessarily, but it's more tangible than if you just said,
I think it's very likely that that's definitely connected to that. You know, that as far as the theme of why it is that this is so important, why the role of a sefer, which essentially is what the Rambam says, right? The idea that the sefer has itself a more public aspect to it rather than just something that could be just, and I guess the country right now is also, among so many other things, wondering about the role of classified documents and public documents, and also can you declassify a document with Machshava Ba'alma? That's also been a recently disputed point. So the question, what kind of a process is necessary for something to be real and something to have weight? So if there's just a verbal declaration, so how much is that lacking in terms of what we're going for? So I think that certainly, it certainly connects. What we're going to see here is emphases of the point that the get needs to be written specifically. The Torah is clearly saying a sefer krisos rather than a statement. And the Torah is not even mentioning a statement at all, which maybe that's significant. And that's related to what you did just say. And that's something we'll see a little bit more. I'll give you tomorrow to look at, that you'll see that in practice, and this we did, I think it was on our Makoros months ago, we saw this a little bit last semester, that there is a, we do, Lamaisa, require that there be some kind of verbal explanation that this is happening. But the question is, Lamaisa, how crucial is that? And that is a Machlokas Rishonim. And the language of the Shulchan Aruch is based on the language of the Rambam, that without the speech, it is a get puzzle. Now, we also need clarification that we mentioned also earlier in the year, that puzzle is apparently not as bad as it sounds, because you might think puzzle is a way of saying it's nothing, but puzzle actually, when it comes to a get, is a softer language than get batel, and it means to say that it's only puzzle midrabanan. So, min ha-Torah, we don't actually require speech, even if midrabanan we do require speech, according to the view of the Rambam and a few others, while others disagree. And the Beis Shmuel explains the view of the Rambam and those who say that it does not require speech on a level of Mahat Torah. They say, how do you know that? Specifically because it says Nesina. Specifically because the Torah says to give. And therefore, and perhaps this is what the Digit was getting at, I'm not sure, maybe it is, that the message of saying it's Nesina is saying that it's in the Nesina specifically, and that it does not require anything to be verbalized. And therefore, even if Midrabanan we do require it, but Min HaTorah, it is not only not necessary, but that's a part of the message, that by saying Nesina, we are excluding the need for there to be any speech required as part of it, at least on a level of Min HaTorah. So in terms of it saying, Hareya Mutaris L'chol Adam, so what does that mean in terms of how specific you have to get about that? So if we look at the Mishnah, Daf Chavav and Aleph, in the third paragraph, so the Mishnah says here, towards the top of the page, HaKosev Totsi Gittin. So if somebody is writing the templates for a get, recall we spoke about the difference between a Tofes and a Torev, so somebody's writing the general template, HaKosev Totsi Gittin, Sarech Shianiach, what does he have to leave space for? Makom HaIsh, Umakom HaIsha, the name of the guy and the name of the woman, Umakom HaZman, and also time for, and also a place for the time. So what about the rest of it? So if you look at the Gemara now, Amar of Yehud, Amar Shmuel, Tzarech Shianiach, Af Makom Harei Amuteres L'chol Adam. That we also have to have a space there for this phrase that we said is Gufo Shel Get, Harei Umuteres L'chol Adam. Throughout Muteres L'chol Adam. And why is that? So the Gemara goes on to say, that is according to the view of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar he, the Amar Ede Nesire Karta, that assumes that the transmission of the get is what effects the divorce of Oina and Ksiva Lishma. And we need Ksiva that is identified as Lishma. And here if you see Rashi, Rashi says, Af Mokum Harei Amuteres, that you also have to put in space for Hareya Mutaris, Rashi Shagamza Ikaro Shalget, that this too is the main text of the get. And it goes on to say, Ede Mesira Karte, and we're reading Rashi here now, Ede Mesira Karte, Hilkach Lekosav La Lav Achasima Kai, so therefore we're understanding, if you follow the Zubal Azar, that the Vakasav is not referring to the signing, the Chasimas Eidim Ein Elamid Debe Sofram, according to that view, is only a Din Rabbanan of signing the Gat, Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. We saw at the time we did the Sugya, remember, as a question whether it's an actual Chiyav or not, or an Eitzah, but that's not the crucial thing, Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. V'chiksiv Vakasav La Mashma Iker Krisus Kai, Dehainu Kolhani Da'aman. So therefore, the idea of Vakasav La is not about that, it's about everything we're talking about here. All of these crucial phrases. Now, in terms of the writing of Hareya Mutaras, so if you see, as far as what that means practically, so look at the Tosfos here, the second Tosfos from the wide lines here in Chavav Mar Aleph, Bitzarech Shaniach Mokum Hareya Mutaras Lechaladam. Says b'chol dufte mashma shekos v'mashin zad beget. So everywhere it seems to imply that this language does make it into the get. But the parak bashra in the last parak, which we just saw before, nami tanya gufo shel get harei amutaras l'chaladim. So it sounds like it should be there. V'hinig Rabbeinu Tam lichtov v'mashin zad beget. And indeed, Rabbeinu Tam had the practice of incorporating this language into the get. Aval b'tovse git m'lahaya kasev. But in the template, he did not put that in. When we call makom, ein lahotzi lazal gittin harishonim. So what about older gittin that don't necessarily have this explicit language in it? So here are the general rule, the policy here also. So we should not be motzi laz on those gittin. Why? Because in general it's a policy. We don't want to be motzi laz on old gittin because of all the problems that come with that. But also, Shaharei Ma'arichin Lichtov Kama Lashonos Beget, because the way the Gittin are actually written, so there is a lot that is written there at length, there's a lot there that is added, and all of these additional phrases, Techashid Kamo Hareyat Mutaris L'Choladam, they have the impact of saying Hareyat Mutaris L'Choladam, so essentially, whether those literal words are there or not, but the language that you have found in the old Gittin is making that point. Okay, so let's just add one more thing here into the mix, and then I know you guys have to get to class, so we'll end and we'll continue this tomorrow. But one point we also mentioned earlier, we'll just bring it up now as well, because this is also important for us to appreciate. So the Tur quotes the Rush, his father the Rush, as arguing on the text of the Rif. So if you look in the back of the Rif and in the back of the Rush, each one has their own text as to what a get should look like. And there's one word that's a point of dispute. We mentioned it a little bit last semester. And remember what that one word was that was a point of dispute between the Rif's text and the Rush's text? So it has to do with the word, one word, eich. So according to the Rif, when you describe what's happening, so you have this lashon of eich, and the Rush disagrees. So that, I believe, should be able to find here in the nusach of the Rush that's in the back, but it's also quoted in the Torah. And essentially, this word, which seems pretty innocuous, the Rush doesn't like it. Why? So here, I'll read to you how it's written here in the, it's quoted by the Torah, but it's also here in the back of our Gemara's in the Seder Ksivas Get. So the language is like this. So, Re'isi betofes nufasach haget shor alfas. I saw in the template of the Get that is attributed to the Rif, shekosev bo eich ana ploni. So it's written there, eich, how I, this person, starts off with the word eich. V'chein b'shar tovsei tikkun hagedolim, and finds that in other places as well, but he doesn't agree with it. V'eino nofel halashan, it does not fit here. Devadai b'shtaro shekosvin ha'idim ha'davr shenizgayim b'fneim. that when you have a general shtar as a raya elsewhere, that when Eidin write out a shtar that testifies to what happened in front of them, so shayach lemichtov zichron edus, eich naisa davar eich naisa zehadavar bifneim. So it makes sense that they should write as a record of their testimony how this happened in their presence. So that's you start with an eich. You're saying how we saw this. You're describing a story that you saw. And you're reporting about it afterward. Eich naisa zehadavar bifneim. Avalashan nusach haget, but the language of a get is not like that. And here, Eric, this is the phrase I said you'll appreciate. What is the lashon nusach haget? Who sipur dvarim? It's a story. Right? It's a story of words, story of events. Shehabal misaper, the husband is speaking, is saying, shebizman hazeh hu megarish ishto. Right now, this is what's happening. So lo shayach lemichtav eich. So he shouldn't say eich as if he's talking about a story that happened. Therefore, it's better, says the Rush, and the Torah quotes this, not to write Eich. So this goes, again, to what exactly is happening. And where does proof come in, and where is it something else? So says the Rush against the Rif, that Eich is a language for Shtari Raya. You want to tell a story of what happened. Right? So, for example, if you ever listen to the... or listen to a ksuba, or listen to the Tanayim, where it says, Eich Shachasin Hanal. We're telling a story of how this happened, and the witnesses said they saw that. So, fine, so that fits. But a get is not that kind of a thing. A get is the husband speaking, and he's speaking in the present tense. He's saying, this is what I'm doing, and that's what the get reflects. So, what have we seen today? So, let's just quickly recap, and then I'll let you go, and then tomorrow we'll pick up from this, and we'll see where this fits in. I'll give you some of the sources to see inside. But what did we see? So we saw that we raised the question of what needs to be verbalized, if anything, based on what you would read from the Torah, and knowing that certainly things have to be written down, what has to be written down? So we saw that Hareyat Muteras, the Chaladam, is Gufo Shoget, according to the Mishnah, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's more you have to say, the day you have to say, this document is it? And the Gemara explains that maybe they both agree the message is crucial, so machlokis about whether you can rely on yadayim she'en mochichos on unclear verbal handles. But essentially the issue is you want to make sure that it's understood that it's the document that's doing the divorce and this is the get, and one shouldn't think, this is what the Gemara says is the fear, that it's verbal words and that the get is only a raya. Now we don't know that it's not a raya, but that if one were to think it's only a raya, that's apparently what we are afraid of. And we saw that the Mishnah Daf Chavav talks about what has to be in the template. You have to leave space over for his name and her name and the date. And then the Gemara adds, and what about Hareyat Muteras L'chol Adam? And we saw that Tosfos says that seems like that does get included in Targit, and whether it's literally there or whether it's words that mean that. And then we added a few extra points here. One, that there is an Amira, at least on a level Midrabanan. And according to one opinion, maybe that's true min HaTorah. Without it, it's nothing. But the language of Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam, that without it, it is a get puzzle, which is a lower problem than a get batal. So why is it only get puzzle? Why is it only Drabanan? So there, as they explain, you can see this in the Beis Shmuel, that the language of Nesina means specifically that it's Nesina, and the words are really not, on a level min HaTorah, a part of this process. So that's all relevant to that. And then we just ended off with this point about the machlokus between the Rush and the Rif, that the Rif has the language of Eich in this Nusach HaGet, and the Rush says, no, Eich is if you're telling about something that happened in the past, and you are a witness saying, this is what I saw. But that's not what a Get is. A Get is Sipur Dvarim. Sipur Dvarim is happening in the present tense. And the word eich is inappropriate for that. So all of this gives us somewhat of a direction towards understanding what's happening here, and some of it draws explicitly on the role of Nesina. So God willing, tomorrow we'll take that a little bit further. Thank you again for your patience.